Oh, there it is. We're online.
All right.
All right. We're online.
Oh, we up? Check your phone first. Check your iPad to see. We're experiencing some technical difficulties,
yes,
but looks like we're able to resolve that issue. And so Lady Kim did everything but packed up her suitcase and got in the car. But we praise God that we are able to go ahead with this study tonight. And so those of you who are viewing, let us know that you're getting a clear signal. And what I did, Lady Kim, I went to my phone and I put it on my, I don't know what I did, but let us know you're getting a clear signal and that you can hear us and that you see it there. So
yes, we're on. Okay. I can see you. I can see you loud and clear.
All right, you can see me.
I can see you clearly. And, I can hear you.
Several people
right
saying good evening.
Good evening. Okay, we made it.
Yeah, we did everything but pack up the car and put some ice in
the
cooler.
Ice chest.
Yeah, and put some snacks in the bag. We praise God for each of you. Brother Martez said the sound is clear. Thank you so much. But we praise God and we are grateful for even trying to make it through this little technical difficulty that we experience. And we give God the praise, honor, and the glory.
Amen.
And the victory shall be ours. And so we're going to be in 2 Chronicles, the 11th and the 12th chapter tonight. Is that right, Lady Kim?
That's right.
And so we're looking forward to going through that process together. This is a very interesting chapters, and we're going to continue from what we left off with the 10th chapter with Jeroboam taking the reins, and he's really digging a hole and he's trying to get out of it now. But let's have a word of prayer as we prepare for tonight, and then just get a review in terms of the powerful worship service that we had on yesterday, and then we'll move into this 2 Chronicles, the 11th and the 12th chapters. All right, let's have prayer. Father, we bless you and we honor you. And we do thank you for your Spirit's abiding presence. Thank you for this opportunity you afforded us to gather around your word. We know and we are clear in our minds and in our spirits that our faith is going to be increased as a result of spending this time together. We pray now that the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. You are our strength and our redeemer. We love you and we honor you. And we thank you for being our God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And praise God.
Amen.
All right, Lady Kim. On yesterday, we had a very powerful time in the Lord. And Dr. Kwali Seymour
brought a powerful word.
Powerful word. She stood tall on yesterday.
Yes.
And I tell you, the house was on fire. You know, we've just come back from Birmingham, and I found out that there were quite a few people who, even though they maybe heard that we were going to be traveling, still showed up and tried to come to worship.
Mm-hmm.
But the place was on fire yesterday. God's presence was felt. And when Dr. Qualis got up, she gave a powerful word. She talked a little bit about how you can win the day.
Mm-hmm.
And how important it is for you to understand there are some key elements and components involved in that as it relates to change.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that right?
That's right.
What was the title of that sermon that
she
preached?
Change is strange.
Change
is strange, but get used to different.
Yeah. And so if we're going to win the day, we really have to get used to different, because things are always evolving. Wouldn't you agree with me on that?
Mm-hmm.
And nothing stays the same. And when we try to put ourselves in a position to remain where we are and what we have and who we are, we get lost in the fact that God wants to continue to allow us to grow in His grace, to maneuver and move forward in His power. And then also we have to grow, for the Bible says, and I think in that verse 17, what was it, verse number 17,
therefore
if any man
be in Christ,
he is a new creation or creature. old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. And so many times we look at that and we see that verse, but we don't really apply that to our lives in terms of the change that has to happen.
Yes.
Wouldn't you agree with me on that?
That's right.
So she had several points as it related to this very powerful delivery that she presented on yesterday. What were some of those points?
Yes, that the controlling force must be the love of Christ.
Okay, so if we're going to change, if we're going to win the day, we know that change is a must. It's going to happen, but we can't be in a resistant status or resistant kind of behavior. We have to make sure that the controlling force, is that what she said, is the love of Christ.
That's right. And because Christ died for us, and we can take on his character.
Okay.
He now controls our lives.
Okay.
So because Christ is head of our lives, so we say, then he's the controlling force behind all that we do.
Okay. And I think that whole chapter in 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, it really kind of gives you an idea of the capacity of love. And many times as believers, we lose sight of the fact that love sends us through some cycles, some changes, some adjustments, even some compromise. And many times we don't take that into, you know, perspective when we are trying to be who God has called us to be. And we get lost in the fact that we are not where we were, and sometimes we get comfortable with what we already have and not willing to let go of some things in order for us to get to where God has called us to be.
Amen. And one of the things I like that she says, that we have to lean into our spiritual self so that the natural self can be different.
Okay.
And I really like that. Lean into your spiritual self, because we're so used to doing things in a carnal way.
That's
in a
right.
carnal mindset. But, you know, it says, you know, our minds have to be transformed. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So when we're transformed by the renewing of our mind, that means that all things have become new.
Okay.
And so we have to start to learn or retrain ourselves in a different thinking pattern. And that's why change is strange, you know, but it's definitely worth taking the risk, you know, and we have to get used to operating in a different mode.
Okay. Because, you know, just think of what would have happened had we not allowed God to transform us or change us, and we decide to be resistant and not allow the controlling factor to be the power in the presence of his love.
Yeah, amen.
That 13th chapter, as I made reference to, I'm going to pull it up because it's rich and many of you are already familiar with it. It talks about how love suffers long, how it's kind, how it's just, does not parade itself, not puffed up, does not behave itself rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things and believes all things. Love never fails. So that has to be the controlling factor.
Yes.
So you have to be able to make the adjustments without compromise.
Right. Absolutely. And, you know, we have to allow our current self to evolve.
Okay, okay.
You know, how we, you know, sometimes we think, you know, because we got saved yesterday, that our lives are supposed to be mysteriously changed just like that, in a twinkling of an eye. But it's an evolution.
Okay.
You know, and we have to be patient in evolution, but we have to work towards evolution. That's just like, you know,
you can deep on us, Professor. All right.
That's just like it took me, you know, 20 years. Well, it took me about 10 years to gain some weight. And so I think I'm going to diet, go on a diet and lose 5 pounds on tomorrow. But it's not like
that.
That's
not how it works.
No. So evolution takes time. So, you know, it takes time to do, you know, it takes time for the positive things that you want to do to come to fruition.
Okay, okay. In order to win the day.
Yes.
All of that is key in terms of, because many times people want to see the change happen overnight, as you already indicated.
Yes.
And we have to be mindful that it's almost like planting the seed, sowing, and expecting to reap a harvest the
tomorrow.
Next day.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't happen like that.
Right.
And so we can look back over our lives and we can see how far the Lord has brought us.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that change had to be in place in order for that to happen. And when we embrace that, when we really understand that, and when we operate in the principle of love, then I think it makes the journey worthwhile and mm-hmm. more manageable, you know, because change for many people, and you made reference to it, it can do one or two things. It can either drive us or draw us,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Yes.
And some people resist it, and they are drawn away from what God is trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
And others who embrace it, then they flow with what God
That's
is doing
right.
in their lives.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, in order for us to win today or keep winning today, we have to step out so God can do a work in us.
That's right.
So sometimes we're afraid to step beyond where we are,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I understand why we are afraid. Well, let me talk about me. I understand why I'm afraid to step out is because we don't know what's ahead.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know the future.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't have to know the future.
Okay.
Because we know that God holds the future.
Okay.
So if we step out in faith,
mm-hmm.
then and trust God,
okay,
then He'll lead us to where we need to be. And I tell people sometimes it's not in the knowing.
Go ahead and preach,
that
Reverend.
That you achieve, it's in the going
it's
that
the
God
going.
Reveals things to you.
Not in the knowing.
So not in
put
the knowing,
that in. Somebody
but in
typed
the going.
That in there. Not in the knowing, but
You're
in the going.
You're not going to know all the time.
That's right.
But if you go, God will reveal
That's
things
good.
To you as you
That's
go.
That's good. And once you step out, God will step in.
Yes.
And so many times we are afraid to take that step, that
mm-hmm.
initial step, because we are getting into a territory of unfamiliarity.
Yes.
But
yes.
we have to know that if God is leading us, if
mm-hmm.
God has called us to it, He will definitely see us through it.
Amen.
Isn't that right?
That's right.
Okay. What were some of the other points there as it relates to this particular sermon that we heard on yesterday?
Well, I think the second point was have a no longer perspective.
Uh-oh.
You know, no longer.
No longer.
No longer
yeah.
will I be here. Will
That's
I stay
right.
here?
That's
will
right.
I do this?
That's right.
No longer will the enemy have control over my life.
Mm-hmm.
No longer
will I accept what the enemy is trying to give me when God has already presented
His best.
Shown me a better way.
Absolutely.
Many times we want to settle for less, and God has called us to live above and not beneath. He's
mm-hmm.
called us to be the head and not the tail.
Amen.
He's called us to not live marginally, but He's called us to live a life that really exceeds beyond where we can see in the natural.
Amen. And so we can look the devil in the eyeball and say, no longer, enemy, devil, get thee behind me, Satan.
That's right. That's right.
You have no control over my life.
Mm-hmm.
And you can move forward. Have the no longer perspective.
That's right. Tired of being sick and tired.
Amen.
That's it. That's it.
And the third point was change is strange. Get used to different.
Get used to different.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, when you are changed, you unite with the Holy One.
Mm-hmm.
You are a new creation. That's that 17th verse that she talked about. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new.
Okay. So it was a powerful time in the Lord. Those of you who were not able to hear that word on yesterday, it's out there on our page. And I tell you, the Lord moved in a powerful and a mighty
mm-hmm.
way. Many came for prayer. Many came, several came to give their lives and to make a confession of faith.
Mm-hmm.
One lady was already baptized and wanted to be rebaptized. And we have two candidates for baptism that's going to take place real soon. But I just felt God's presence in the room on yesterday as many were at the altar praying, and people were bringing their kids and people were coming. And then Ms. Vendora's daughter who came in, I'm so glad that they didn't just decide that after they kind of observed what was happening, that they wanted to leave. I didn't know that was her daughter, but I was just, I saw the young family with the baby in the stroller, and they were coming in trying to find somewhere to sit. And the people received them, you know, not with any kind of harshness, any kind of like, where you going type attitude. And they sat down, and we were, what, at the offering time, I believe, right? And so when we prayed for them, I just kind of sensed God's spirit moving in their lives, even though they came in late. But, you know, God is never late. You know, he's Amen. Always right on time.
Yes.
And so we hope that they received, even in the prayer on yesterday, breakthrough in what they are going through. Because so many families nowadays with young kids, you know, it's hard to imagine what they are faced with in terms of trying to raise a family in this day and time.
In this culture.
It's, yeah, it's yeah.
wicked world that we live in.
That's right.
Amen.
And so we praise God for that, and we praise God for those who came forth to make their confession of faith, those who came forth for prayer, and our spiritual officers and ministers. They were moving about throughout the congregation as they were they had their spiritual antennas up,
Amen.
If you will,
that's right.
and sensing that people needed prayer.
Prayer.
And that's what it should be. It should be an experience where you don't leave the same way you came when you go to worship. You leave better than you did when you first came in. And even if you didn't have any ailments or didn't have any concerns or didn't have any issues when you came in, you ought to still feel the power and the presence of God
Amen.
Working on your behalf.
Amen.
Yeah.
That's right.
So it was a great day.
It was a great day. And the young lady that joined on yesterday, they said she came to the prayer drive-through on mm-hmm. Saturday mm-hmm. and requested prayer.
Wow.
And they invited her to service, as we invite all of the people who come through the prayer drive-through, and she showed up.
That's good.
And I believe she got a breakthrough.
Yeah,
and as
absolutely.
A result, she gave her life again to Christ and asked to be baptized again. So our hearts are overjoyed.
That's right.
That's
right.
You know, we stand there in the hot sun praying for people, praying for people's needs, but out of that time, somebody's life has been transformed.
Absolutely.
And that's what it's all about.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
All right. So it was a great weekend. And even as we moved throughout the neighborhood, we encountered several people, quite a few people, as a matter of fact, as we passed out the door hangers and invited people to come and had conversation with people, you know. And so we have to continue to trust the timing of God. Because even in when the weather is of such where it just feels like this is not going to be a good time, mm-hmm. you know, God it does his best
up.
Work, doesn't he?
Shows up and shows out.
And that was the culmination of your, workshop, mm-hmm. I believe. Is that right?
Yes.
For the module on
the
stewardship.
Stewardship of your time,
mm-hmm.
your talent, your resources.
And people came and they... Yes. Got involved. So we praise God for each of you who were committed to being a part of that. And we definitely praise God for Dr. Kwalee Seymour.
Amen.
Come on,
that
somebody give God
word.
Some thumbs up right
yes,
through there. That's
hallelujah.
Right.
Hallelujah.
Because she did an excellent job. And,
she preached so good, she made me feel like preaching.
You got up there and you were getting ready to run a little
I
bit.
I know, and I was happy. My soul was happy.
That's right. Thank you, Dr. Kwalee, for being obedient to God and allowing God to use you
Amen.
And share a word with us on yesterday.
Amen.
All right. Well, any comments that we need to look at? I see a couple of things there. Is there anything we need to lift up?
No, we just, yes. All right. We're good.
Okay.
Just some comments agreeing with what we've said.
All right.
Amens and things like that.
Okay. Okay. All right. Well, tonight, and we praise God for each of you. We started out with a little technical difficulty, and we're glad that each of you are on. And I guess on the streaming side, they are connected.
They're
as
connected.
Well.
Everybody's connected.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. So we're in 2 Chronicles, the 11th and 12th chapters tonight. Both chapters are relatively small, but it all kind of... starts, well, not really starts, but it's a continuation mm-hmm. of what happened in the 10th chapter. And we find that Jeroboam, he has succeeded his dad, who is
Rehoboam.
I'm sorry. Where is Jeroboam? Is he in here somewhere?
He is. He has the northern kingdom.
Okay.
When they divided.
Okay. Yeah.
He's the king of the northern kingdom.
All right. One of the Boam boys.
Well, the Boam. But Rehoboam was the successor of King Solomon, his daddy.
All right.
Yes.
Give me a Sunday school lesson tonight, brother. Go ahead and help me.
And he apparently was his only son, so mm-hmm. they say.
Okay.
But he wasn't a very good king.
Okay. He was kind of dysfunctional from the start.
Yes.
He was not really a leader that was in touch with his leadership.
Yes.
He had a unique leadership style.
Yes.
Right.
He did.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. And one of the things that he did, he got bad advice. Well, he got good advice.
He did.
Went to the elders. Well, one of the things that happened, you know, Jeroboam was one who worked for Rehoboam.
Okay.
And he came to him and said, you know, your daddy was hard on the people,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, can you ease up a little bit
with
the workload? And Rehoboam said, well, give me 3 days
mm-hmm.
and let me think about it. And in that 3-day period, he went to the elders and
okay.
he asked the elders what he should do. And the elders said that you should, lighten the load on
mm-hmm.
And then he went to some young people
around his
peers
mm-hmm.
that he grew up with and asked them. And they said, oh, you need to make things harder for them.
Break them.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what Rehoboam decided to do. He decided to follow the advice of the youngsters.
Okay. Okay.
And as a result,
It split the nation.
They resisted,
mm-hmm.
yes, and it split the nation. They were at war with one another
that's
almost.
Right. That's
and
right.
it split into the kingdom, into the northern kingdom
right.
and the southern kingdom.
That's right.
And so who split? There were 12 tribes.
Right.
You remember the sons? All of the sons, Reuben and Dan and Benjamin and all those, the sons of those 12 tribes, all those kinfolks of those 12 tribes, two of them went to the south and ten of them went to the north, and two of them went to the south.
Okay. Okay.
So the two that went to the south were with Rehoboam.
Mm-hmm.
And the other 10 were with Jeroboam.
Okay.
So that's how it was split.
And Rehoboam was one who took over from his dad's side.
Right.
Is that correct?
That's correct.
And so there was a lot of tension there because of the decision that was made and because of the dysfunction of Rehoboam
mm-hmm.
and because he didn't listen to sound advice. I think that's a word for us even today, Lady Kim, because all too often we look at situations and we see our elders who have brought us. And then we want to turn our back and shut the door on what got us to where we are.
Mm-hmm.
And many times we miss out on the wise advice, the wisdom of our elders in terms of trying to help us get to the next phase or the next level
mm-hmm.
of what God is trying to get done.
Mm-hmm.
And because we have such a proud and a arrogance many times, and that's not for everybody, but sometimes it shows and it raises its ugly head, and a hunger for power and thirst for trying to really be in charge, that we end up causing more harm
mm-hmm.
than we do good.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so that's what we pick up here in the 11th chapter. Rehoboam has, he's trying to avenge himself, or he's trying to amend some of the things that he's done.
Mm-hmm.
And this chapter really kind of deals with military strategies, and he's trying to right the ship from the decision that he made when he saw the split that occurred as a
yes.
result of his bad decision.
Yes. And they were going to go to war against
absolutely.
Him. But a prophet came and told him not to do that.
That's right.
And so as a result, you know, they did not. He really obeyed what he did, and God's vengeance was not against Rehoboam.
And what you find in these Old Testament kings, that most of them, even though they were religious men, God also placed a prophet in their midst so that God could communicate directly with the prophet in order to keep the king in line. Mm-hmm. Because the kings can easily be influenced by wealth and power and status and their peers, and lose sight of the presence of God in terms of their decision-making process. So the prophet was there to counsel Rehoboam and to kind of put him back on track. And God spoke to the prophet and sent word from the prophet to Rehoboam, and so that, as well as Jeroboam, so that they would not clash and create a all-out war against each other.
Because they were family.
Yeah.
They were family members, and so they should not war against family members.
Right. So. But isn't that just the opposite? Because that's so much like today, when we know that we ought not be at war against our family, and many times some of the greatest battles
that we face
is against family. Yeah. But that's a whole nother lesson for a whole nother time.
Absolutely.
But this was happening then, so there's nothing new under the sun, and we see all of the same elements in terms of what drives people to be at odds against each other was alive then, and it's alive even now. And so we have to be mindful of that, because he even dismissed all of those who were of the Levite tribe. And he dismissed a lot of people, and his bad decision really caused a whirlwind effect to happen as a result of the split of the nation of Israel.
But you know, at the end, near the end of that 10th chapter, it talked about how there was war between Jeroboam and Rehoboam all their days.
Yeah.
So they constantly clashed. You know, with one another. So can you just imagine being at war with your family members? One side of the family always, you know, against the other side of the family.
What was like the name of that? Said, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Like you said, nothing new under the sun.
What was that old, this was way back, Hatfield and McCoys? Yes. Was that the name of the?
Yes, the Hatfields and the McCoys. They fought it, but they were neighbors.
I don't think
they were a family, but they were neighbors. Okay. They always had a feud going on.
Right. Mm-hmm. All right. So how many verses do we have here in this 11th chapter?
I believe, let's see.
2 Chronicles chapter 11. 23 verses. Let's go ahead and read those, Lady Kim, because our assignment tonight is to cover 11 and 12, and I think the 12th chapter has about, how many chapters does 12?
I think it has
verses? 13. No, it has 16.
16,
yeah.
Okay.
So let's go ahead and read the 11th chapter in its entirety, and then we'll come back if there's something that we need to really touch on, because we did a summary of what's happening here already, and then we'll lift up any other elements that we see might need to touch on as you finish reading.
All right, we're in 2 Chronicles, the 11th chapter. Y'all know my eyes are not working like they should lately. Plus, I don't know half these names they have on here, but here we go. Now, when Rehoboam came to Jerusalem, he assembled from the house of Judah and Benjamin 180,000 chosen men who were warriors to fight against Israel, that he might restore the kingdom to Rehoboam. But the word of the Lord came to Shemaiah, the man of God, saying, "Speak to Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, king of Judah, and to all Israel in Judah and Benjamin, saying, Thus says the Lord, you shall not go up or fight against your brethren. Let every man return to his house, for this thing is from me. Therefore, they obeyed the words of the Lord and turned back from attacking Jeroboam.
Okay, let's stop right there, because that's the part where we were talking about how the prophet came and he spoke a word so that they would not go into battle, which was going to ultimately destroy the family. Because they are still at odds, and this would have been an all-out attack that would have caused more damage than that already has already taken place.
Amen.
Than what already has taken place. I said a whole lot right in there. That was kind of... Okay. And so that's why I was sharing about the prophet, that God used the prophet, even though many times the kings... Wisdom and knowledge is of such where they're able to rule, and they're able to, you know, have strategic and military, you know, strategies and might and power and administrative abilities. Sometimes God has to make sure that they get the word from God directly from the prophet that delivers that word to the king, so that they can know beyond the shadow of a doubt that that was God who was speaking to them in terms of the decision that was going to be made.
Amen.
And both Rehoboam and Jeroboam agreed to accept the word from the prophet and not go to battle.
Amen.
Is that right?
That's correct.
Okay. So you left off on verse number 5?
Yes.
Okay. We're in the 11th chapter of 2 Chronicles, for those of you who are just joining us. Certainly grateful to see each of you on tonight. And we praise God for his spirit's abiding presence here tonight.
Verse number 5. So Rehoboam dwelt in Jerusalem and built cities for the defense in Judah. And he built Bethlehem, Edom, Tekoa, Beth-zur, Shachol, Adullam, Gath, Marshath, Zippah, Adoram, Lachish, Azekah, Zorah, Ajalon, and Hebron, which are in Judah and Benjamin, fortified cities. And he fortified the strongholds and put captains in them and stores of food, oil, and wine. Also in every city he put shields and spears and made them very strong, having Judah and Benjamin on his side. And from all their territories, the priests and the Levites who were in all Israel took their stand with him. For the Levites left their common lands and their possessions and came to Judah and Jerusalem. For Jeroboam and his sons had rejected them from serving as priests to the Lord. Then he appointed for himself priests for the high places, for the demons, and the calf idols which he had made. And after the Levites left, those from all the tribes of Israel, such as set their hearts to seek the Lord God of Israel, came to Jerusalem and to sacrifice to the Lord God of their fathers. So they strengthened the kingdom of Judah and made Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, strong for 3 years, because they walked in the way of David and Solomon for 3 years. Then Rehoboam took for himself as a wife Mahalath, the daughter of Jeremoth, the son of David, and Abihail, the daughter of Eliah, the son of Jesse, and she bore him children, Jeush, Shemariah, and Zaham. After he took Micaiah, the granddaughter of Absalom, and she bore him Abijah, Attai, Zizah, and Shelomoth. Now Rehoboam loved Maachah, the granddaughter of Absalom, more than he loved all his wives and his concubines. For he took 18 wives and 60 concubines, and begot 28 sons and 60 daughters. And Rehoboam appointed Abijah, the son of Mechalah, as chief to be leader among his brothers, for he intended to make him king. He dealt wisely and dispersed some of his sons throughout the territories of Judah and Benjamin. To every fortified city, he gave them provisions in abundance. He also sought many wives for them.
Wow. That was a lot right there.
That was a whole lot.
So we see the division has happened, and Jeroboam and Rehoboam have both decided to yield to the word of God that came from the prophet. And I think somebody just indicated that they were ready to go all out and destroy each other. But God spoke and called a halt to it. And it's important here, Lady Kim, that we listen to the word of God that comes from the prophet, the preacher, the pastor, as it relates to our situations. Many times when we don't even know what that might be, but God will speak a word that will give us, let me catch this. That's all right.
Okay. So many times he'll speak a word, I don't know what he was getting ready to say, but we'll go on with.
Okay. You done?
So, let's pick up where it talks about Rehoboam taking his wives. He had a lot of wives, a lot of concubines. He had a whole lot of chillin, as they used to say. The old people used to say. He had many children. But the thing that we can take away from here is that the families decided to live peacefully with one another after they